Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts, and the book of Acts in chapter number 2. The book of Acts in chapter number 2. In our current series of the Christian Home Crusade, we're putting an emphasis that everyone needs to have three homes. You need to have a Christian home, a home where in your family, Christ is at the center of it. Everyone needs to have a heavenly home. Everyone needs to know for sure that if something was to happen to you, that you know for sure that you'd be going to heaven because of the blood shed for you on the cross by Jesus Christ. Then everyone needs to have a good church home, and that there are benefits for belonging to a church. If you don't mind, let's see some more about this as we're putting an emphasis on this section on the church. Notice with me in the book of Acts in chapter number 2. The book of Acts in chapter number 2. And if you don't mind, let's start in verse number 41. Acts chapter 2, and in verse 41, the Bible says this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and their goods, and parted unto them to all men, so that every man had need. Or as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And with this, we're going to see an emphasis that is placed in the Bible on believe and belong to a church home. Believe and belong to a church home. Now, we find that it is easier if we define our terms so everyone's on the same page. We know that today there's lots of things that are done in the name of the church, that many things out there are called a church. But what is an idea of a Bible church or a New Testament church? What does the Bible have to say? Well, we could put a simple definition of a New Testament church, that a New Testament church is a group of baptized believers voluntarily gathering themselves together for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission. That's a good definition. A group of baptized believers voluntarily, and I like the word voluntary, no one's forced, no one's has their arm twisted, no one's threatened to die if you don't come. They voluntarily came together for the purpose of accomplishing the Great Commission. Remember that when someone becomes a part of the church, what they're saying is, I believe God has placed me here for the purpose of helping this local church accomplish the Great Commission and what God has given us to do. So remember that inside of a church, there's no room for spectators. It's not a spectator sport. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone's important. Everyone has something to do within a local church, which is our big theme for the year, trying to remind everyone that everyone has a part to play. It's not a one-man show. Everyone has a part to do. And inside of a local church, everyone has something they can do for the Lord. So as we continue through here, let's see a little bit more about this to understand the role of a church to believe and belong as part of the church. Notice, first of all, that they believed, that they believed. Notice with me, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Notice that phrase, that they gladly received his word. Now in the context, Peter is preaching in the day of Pentecost. And in this message, he talks to them that Jesus lived in Jerusalem, and then he died for our sins. That Jesus was buried, and that he rose again. And that when he rose again, there were many people who saw him. There were many infallible proofs. And because he lives, we have a hope. And that people heard the message that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose again. And in verse number 41, we see the response to the message. What was the response? Then they that gladly received his word. Here we can see that they believed, that they gladly received his word. We're thankful for that. Remember this idea of gladly received his word, that someone, when they get saved, they don't get saved. Well, fine, if I have to. It should be an idea that I believe that this is what I need. This is what I need for myself. I recognize that I'm a sinner, and because of my sin, I've offended a holy, righteous God. My only way of escape is Jesus, and I'm gladly accepting that way of escape. There's not an idea that I begrudgingly accept Christ. Fine, I'll do it because I have to. Doesn't work that way. They that gladly received his word. By the way, were you glad when you accepted Christ as your Savior? There should be something. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That when I received salvation, there was something that changed. There was something that happened. I was glad I got saved. By the way, if you truly got Bible salvation, you're going to be glad that you're saved. No one is ever going to regret, well, I regret that my sins are forgiven. Well, I regret that I know I'm going to heaven. Well, I regret that Jesus paid the price for me. We should be glad. And so we start off that people need to get saved, that they need to know Christ as their Savior. As we go on, we can see something else, that not only did they believe, but they belonged. They belonged. Notice again in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So we could see there's a next step here. Notice that before they were baptized, there was a condition that had to be met. They had to believe first. Understand that baptism doesn't save us. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins. That we believe in what is called believer's baptism, that baptism is only for those who have believed. In order for baptism to be considered biblical, there are four criteria that need to be met. We often use the word camp as an acrostic to remind us of those conditions. That first of all, we have to have the right candidate. The right candidate. What is the right candidate? Someone who has been saved. That before someone can get baptized, they need to be saved first. Then they that were baptized, or they that gladly received the word of God, were baptized. They had to be saved before they were baptized. The next letter in that acrostic camp is letter A. We have the condition of authority. We need to have the right authority. Well, this is a good question. What is the correct authority? The correct authority is not the pastor. The correct authority is the local church. The local church is the one who grants me permission to baptize, but when we baptize someone, they're baptized with the authority of the local church, and they become a part of that local church. The local church is that authority. With it, we have the word camp. We have the right candidate, the right authority. The next letter is the letter M. We have the right mode. The right mode. What is the correct mode? The correct mode is immersion. The word baptized is a transliterated word. That means that it was in Greek, it's baptizo. It's the same word. We just made it English. So we didn't make a brand new word up. We just took the same word. The word baptized means to immerse. That carries the idea to go all the way under. Why? Why is that so important? Because what it does, it's a picture that Jesus died and was buried and that he rose again. Baptism shows that we're identifying with him and what Jesus did for us. Remember, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died and he was buried and that he rose again. Baptism is saying I identify with what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm observing this picture. Now, the next letter in biblical baptism is the letter P, the word camp, the right candidate, the right authority, the right mode. Then we also have the right purpose. What is the right purpose? Well, the right purpose is a twofold thing. First of all, it is for obedience. Why do I get baptized? I don't get baptized in order to be saved. I should be saved already. I don't get baptized to wash away my sins. Well, if baptism doesn't save me, and baptism doesn't wash away my sins, why should I get baptized? Well, let's just think about it logically. When someone gets baptized, we're doing it in front of it, the church, because it's a church local church doctrine, right? It's for the local church because they're the right authority. So when someone gets baptized, they stand in front of everyone, get into water, trust someone to put them under and not hold them there till the bubbles stop, but at least bring them back. That's a lot of trust. And they're in front of everyone wet. And you want to tell me that they didn't get saved? You want to tell me that nothing spiritual happened? You want to tell me that their sins weren't washed away? Then why do it? Obedience. To be a fool in front of everyone, God wants to see if you're willing to obey him when it doesn't do anything for you. Amen. Obedience is the first step, or baptism is the first step of obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're willing to obey in baptism, you're probably willing to obey the Lord in other areas. So baptism, the purpose of it is obedience. Am I willing to obey the Lord in what he's given me to do, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it makes me feel silly, even if it doesn't wash sins away? Am I willing to obey the Lord? Well, this is a big step, a very big step, to say I'm willing to trust God enough to get wet in front of everyone and have no benefits. Yes. So the first step of the purpose is obedience. The second purpose is identification. First of all, we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again. Baptism is a universal language that says, I am a Christian. I identify with Christ. This is why all around the world, when someone gets baptized, not when someone gets saved, but when someone gets baptized, that in many places that they're persecuted or they're kicked out of the family, they're disowned. That in a traditional Catholic family, if someone is biblically baptized, they're disowned. Traditional Jewish family, they're disowned. A traditional Muslim family, if someone gets baptized, they're disowned. Well, this is a big deal for someone to identify with Christ. When someone gets baptized, they know that they're identified with Christ. There's a second part of identification. Remember, the authority is the local church. Part of that identification is not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, but the body of doctrine that they're baptized with. Let me give an example. When in the Bible did the Lord Jesus Christ get baptized? Yes. Why did he get baptized? Was it because he needed saved? Was it because he was announcing that he was a sinner? Was it to wash away his sins? Then why did Jesus get baptized? Anybody? Obedience, first of all. Very good. Let's cover that, and then we'll hit the second answer that was got there. The first one was obedience. He said, I do this to fulfill all righteousness. I'm doing it because it's right. So he did it for obedience. The second one, which was already said, was to identify with John the... What was John's message? There was a one-line thing that summarized John's message. Repent. So when Jesus got baptized and he started his earthly ministry, what was Jesus's message? Repent. When he got baptized, he was identifying with the doctrine of John. And everyone knew that Jesus was identified with that same doctrine. We have the same thing today. When someone gets baptized, they identify with that local church doctrine. So if someone's baptized in a Catholic church, they identify as a? If someone gets baptized in a Mormon church, they're identified as a? When someone gets baptized in a Church of Christ, they're identified as a? Someone gets baptized as a Baptist, they are identified as a? So you see that identification becomes important because are we being identified with what body of doctrine? Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but what body of doctrine? And because our authority is that local church, it becomes very important about who that authority is that baptizes us. Does it make sense? Now, all of this is just leading to the idea in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Who's that them? Well, we could see God clearly identifies it in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What happened is that when they got baptized, they now become a part of that local church. They belong to that church. And belonging to a church is a very important thing. What happens when someone belongs to a church? That's a great question. Well, notice as we see in chapter number 2 and verse 42, as it continues with this passage, notice what happens inside of the church that they belong to. Acts chapter 2, the same passage we were at, verse number 42. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So this is important. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is doctrine? It's our belief and teachings. So what we have here is the people who got saved were being taught. What were they being taught? The apostles' doctrine, belief and teachings. Where did the apostles get their doctrine? Jesus. So Jesus taught the apostles. The apostles taught that first century church. First century church went on. They continued. Notice how they continued. They continued steadfastly. The apostle Paul says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, when he's talking to Timothy, the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others also. Remember, things that are different are not the same. So when they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, we have the principle of discipleship, that they were taught and they continued with the same thing that they were taught. They taught someone else and they continued steadfastly with what they were taught, and they were discipled someone else and they continued steadfastly. That we could find this line of doctrine all the way through the ages as they continued steadfastly in what they had been taught all the way to what Jesus had taught them. So what happens in a local church? Discipleship. That they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What else happens inside of a local church? Notice with me in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. What happens in a local church? Well, good local church, fellowship. People should get along with each other. They should like each other. In fact, we get to the place where we become closer with each other than we do our own kin. I know that's true of my family. I'd rather hang out with you than my own family. Why? Because we have the fellowship of Jesus Christ together. We have something in common. We could rejoice together. That's part of being a member, belonging to a local church, is that you get a church family that you could fellowship with, that you could spend time, that you want to spend time with. We all have people that we love, but we don't want to go on vacation with them. With our local church, we have people that we want to see, that we look forward to see, that we enjoy the fellowship together. We get to have a group activity of watching, worshiping the Lord together, that we have fellowship. What else do we have inside of a local church that you belong to? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. This breaking of bread is specifically referring to the Lord's Supper. That they observe the Lord's Supper together. They make sure that they're right with God together. That there's a bond that they have. Remember, there are two church ordinances or orders that Jesus gave to the local church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. The purpose of baptism is to make a church pure by only allowing saved people within the church. And the Lord's Supper keeps a church pure by making sure that those saved people are as right with God as possible. Both of them are for the health and life of that local church. What else happens inside of a local church? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Something that should happen within a local church is the church should be praying together and bearing one another's burdens and lifting those things up. And we have a united front because we have a common prayer and we could pray for one another. This is one of the benefits there is for being part of a local church. Now, do we see this carried out? We do. Notice with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. The book of Acts, chapter number 9. Now, to catch up, what happens shortly afterwards is that there becomes a great persecution upon the church. The persecution upon that local church was led by a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. And he was known as a great murderer, dragging people from their homes just because they went to church, killing them. Well, he got saved. Praise the Lord. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus. God put him and separated him out for 3 years in the desert of Arabia, where Jesus discipled Paul himself. So Paul went through discipleship for 3 years. So some of you who are still in discipleship and it feels like it's dragging on, remember, Paul was in 3 years, and he was Paul. All right? So he was in discipleship for 3 years. After that, he said, well, I want to go to the church of Jerusalem, and I want to learn from them. So he's saved, he's different, but a lot of people still remember Paul or Saul as the murderer. So he comes to Jerusalem. Notice what happens, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And notice with me in verse number 26. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And when Saul came to Jerusalem, notice this statement, he essayed or purposed to join himself to the disciples. Notice that word join. You know what he did when he went to Jerusalem? He wanted to become part of that local church. He wanted to join that local church. Why? He wanted to belong to it. He realized that local church membership was important. I want to belong to this church and be a part of them. To not just be a fragment, not just to be a fringe. I want to be a part of them. But notice his testimony kind of preceded him. And when Saul came to Jerusalem, he assuaged himself to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Well, when you have a guy who's known for dragging people out of their house and killing them because they went to church, then he shows up to church. You can imagine everyone's like, okay. And then you can imagine he sits down in the pew. The person next to him gets up and switches seats. No one wanted to be around him. I mean, could we understand that? I mean, is he really saved or is he here just to keep track and Gestapo me and, you know, keep, you know, write down everybody who's in here? I mean, there was a lot of fear. Who is this guy? What's he going to do? You. Praise the Lord. Notice what happened in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples. Barnabas was one of the leaders in the church. His name means consolation. What Paul did, Barnabas did, is he said, Saul, say that a couple times, Saul, sitting by himself. And he said, you know what? No one should sit by themselves in church. So he sat next to them. And then when service was over, he brought Saul to the disciples and said, here is Saul of Tarsus. He just got saved. I want him to meet you. And he was the one who let him meet the preacher. Everyone else was going to scatter and run. But someone stood up for Saul and said, I'm going to not leave him alone. I'm going to make sure that he belongs, that he's a part, that he feels welcome. This is an important part of becoming a church, is trying to let other people who want to join, who want to be a part of us, to make them feel welcome and bring them aboard, because it's important that they belong. So he brings them in and they begin to talk together and they realize that Saul really did get saved. And it becomes an important part. Of course, we know in church history, he becomes a great church planter. But you know, that could have been completely different if Barnabas didn't make him feel like he belonged. But we also see the principle that when he went to Jerusalem, he says, I'm going to be a part of that church. I'm going to join that church. I'm not just going to sit in the fringe. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to go be in this church for a while, and then I'll go to this church. He said, if I'm here, I'm going to join this church. Again, what is the purpose of joining the church? It's saying that I believe God has put me here to put my life and my influence in helping this local church move forward. That's a big decision. But it's important that you belong to a local church. That you belong. So people just didn't believe they belonged to a church. As we see one more thing here, not only do they believe, not only do they belong, but they also behaved. They behaved. They behaved a certain way. Turn back with me, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, let's just go through the rest of this passage and just see how they behaved. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Let me pause here. Verse 44 and 45 is not teaching socialism. That's not what it's speaking about at all. We know that people today have tried to twist this, but it's carrying the idea that they wanted the gospel to go out and help that church to go out, that they're willing to sell what they had to give to help that church move forward. That, again, there's a principle that they're not, you know, taking everything that they have, but it's carrying the idea that, you know what, if I can give up McDonald's and save that, whatever, $20 for one person, whatever it costs now, and give to missionary, well, it's probably better spent to give it to the missionary. Amen. As we have the church moving forward, well, you know what, I'm going to do without, and if I could help out and I don't need this anymore, well, you know what, let's give it so that way we could help that church move forward. Amen. It's carrying the idea that they are behaving themselves in such a way that they are part of a church and they want that church to move forward. If we can help by time and skill, if we could give things, whatever we can do to help the church move forward, we're willing to do. So again, it's not an idea of socialism, but it's an idea that they were invested as part of that church and they behaved well. It wasn't about them. It was about how can we help this church move forward. Again, when you become a member of a church, what are you saying? I believe that the Lord has brought me to this place to help this local church accomplish what God has given us to do in the Great Commission. That's a serious commitment to say, I believe God put me here and I'm going to help this church move forward. I'm going to help this church accomplish what God has given us to do. Now, I understand that in today's world, not everyone believes that part of a church, meaning that some people say, well, it doesn't matter where I go, whatever else, and they miss being part of a church. And some people say, I don't care what, I'm not going to do anything for the Lord ever. Okay. But those who do understand that joining a church, you're saying that I believe that the Lord, not pastor or whatever else, the Lord put me here. And that I'm putting my life in influencing and helping this local church accomplish what God has given us to do. And they take it seriously and they become a part of it. That means they stay. They're not shopping around. If you worked for Pepsi and then told Pepsi, I'm going to take some vacation to go help out Coke, do you think they'd appreciate that? No. God has given me to help this local church, and I'm putting my influence in helping this local church move forward and accomplish what it needs to do. They behave together. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It says that they continued to live like a Christian daily. Now, we don't have church services daily, but we do have a principle here that you should live like a Christian daily. That you don't say, well, I'm Sunday, I got to dress up nice, and then Monday I'm going to act like a heathen. They behave themselves daily and obeying the Lord and following after him and reading their Bibles and prayers and following and having the testimony that they ought to have. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Again, part of having a good testimony that the people who are not part of the church says, there's something to this. Those people are real. They're genuine. There's something about them. And because of this, because of the testimony that they have, because they behave themselves daily, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So as they're behaving as a Christian throughout the week, people around them are saying, what do you have that I don't? And you're able to lead them to the Lord, and they become part of the church. See, the idea that becoming a member of the church also carries the idea that I need to behave like a Christian on Tuesdays, on Friday nights. Why? Because people are watching you. And we're trying to encourage them and influence them to be a part of what God is doing here and behaving ourselves wisely. So with this, we see the idea of a local church that they believed, that they belonged, and that they behaved. That becoming a member of the local church is a very important thing and something that God has designed the local church to be. And when we're a part of the local church, we first of all have to be saved. But then we have to have a desire to be used of God however he sees fit to help that local church move forward. Being a part of a local church is a very important thing. And it's a biblical thing, an example for us to have. So with that, where are you at? Are you a functioning member of the local church? Have you found your role, your place in that local church? Or maybe you're not a member of a local church. Well, I encourage you to come see me. I'd be glad to answer any questions, to do whatever we can, but I want you to be convinced that the Lord placed you here, and the Lord placed you here for a reason, not to be a spectator, but for you to have your life and influence in helping this local church in what God is trying to get accomplished in this part of the world. That being a member of a local church is something very big, something very old, and something very important. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.